will in one moment.
Okay.
And lines are together, Andrew?
Yep.
Hey, it's Dan Kruppner.
Great. Hey, Dan, we're just about to do a roll call. Okay, so just going to call names in no particular order. This is David Corris, by the way. Don Frost. Okay. Mark Rolfe.
I'm here.
Thank you. Jeff Beckham, I believe, is not available. John Johnson.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Parker Wise.
Here.
Alexandra Daum, I believe, is unavailable. Okay, Brian Thompson.
Here.
Okay. Don Frost.
Great. Hey, Don.
Hi.
Dan Krupnik, I heard.
Hello.
Judy Scheifel.
Here.
Great. Dave Perillo. Okay, Greg Scully. And Grant Westerson.
I am here, thank you.
Great. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, I count 9. And that constitutes a quorum. I guess I'll just try one more time. Greg Scully. Or Dave Perillo.
I was told that Dave had some power problems.
Okay, yeah.
Yesterday, I haven't spoken to him today.
Understandable. I'm still without power myself.
Power to the people.
We will go on to the second item on the agenda. I guess I should technically have called the meeting to order at 10:04. Next item is public participation. Are there any members of the public who wish to speak related to the agenda item before us today?
Kevin Black, I'd like to make public comment, please.
Yep, go ahead.
So related to agenda item number 4, I'd like to point out again that you do not have an executive director as required by the law. I question why you keep putting, this in there. The law says you guys need an executive director to exercise power. And a number of times that the Port Authority has broken the law from failing to hold public, statute required public hearings, to attempting to, basically evict protected users, water-dependent users on the Coastal Management Act. Somebody needs to hold the Port Authority accountable and make them follow the law. When other people break the law, when I break the law and interrupt your meeting, I'm arrested. I expect to be arrested for painting your signs pink, as I should be. And the same level of accountability should be applied to the Port Authority for breaking the law. Again, related to agenda item number 4, Driven Enterprises, the salt distributor, is a water-dependent user protected by the Coastal Management Act. I question why you guys had to displace that business from the logical and safe position that it had on the Hill when a permit from the Army Corps has not been issued. It just went to public notice and will likely go to public hearing when no DEEP permit has yet been issued, when no WERDA Act deauthorization for filling between the piers has been even close to being brought before Congress or wherever the federal powers that it'll require for that deauthorization. That material under the Hill where the salt had been you know, safely sitting was, I guess, is intended for use between, to fill between the piers, yet you guys don't even know whether you're going to be allowed to fill between the piers. And you're destroying a functioning business that provides a critical public safety, material that the whole region relies on. And I think that's very, very bad judgment. I think that related to agenda item number three in the authority updates and comments from the chair, I hope that the chair will touch on the fact that the Southeastern Connecticut Council of Regional Governments had a meeting August 4th and expressed serious concern with the state tier plan, concern that we were setting up a single-use facility despite what David Corris has said in the press and despite, you know, trying to say that over the long term we're still going to have the ability to ship multiple cargoes out of there. The August 4th meeting from the Southeastern Connecticut Council of Governments makes it very, very clear that they see things differently than David Corris. I hope that the members of the press will, watch and listen to that meeting and see what those leaders have to say. Related to moving Driven Enterprises and keeping Driven Enterprises it appears to me you're offering a temporary solution, through December. But Joe Courtney is quoted as saying that he didn't want to see the users just pushed out. He didn't want to see the existing users. He was looking for some assurances that the existing users of the tier weren't just going to be pushed out. And a temporary solution and then shoving him out where he'll have no ability to bring, his product in and where he'll have no ability to compete, goes against what Joe Courtney wanted. Also, there's just one more thing that I wanted to say, and it's the state tier facility must remain in service during the construction of the proposed improvements. That's in the state tier. That's in the state peer report, our state peer report. So what you guys are doing, shutting everything down, goes against the state report. It will be necessary to maintain port operations throughout construction, especially on state pier where the largest vessels are permitted to berth. It also talks about that the key to enhanced utilization is maximizing flexibility and efficiency. What you guys are doing is going against good judgment, it's going against common sense, practical thinking, and it's going against state reports and I believe the law. So that's all I have to say at this time. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Are any other members of the public wish to speak at this time? Okay, hearing none, the next item on the agenda, item three, authority update comes from the chair. Just really thanks to everyone for coming together on short notice for this important item. We do still have our regularly scheduled meeting next week, and so I want everyone in the public to be aware of that. This does not supplant that meeting. This is merely to take up a time-sensitive item that could not wait until that time and was only completed recently, and appreciate everyone coming together, and particularly given this challenging time in the summer. The next item on the agenda, item four, consideration and approval of a resolution authorizing chairperson, vice chairperson, executive director to enter into that certain agreement between the authority and Driven Enterprises effective August 12th. I'll provide just a very brief summary of this document. first and foremost, which all members of the board receive in advance. Folks are undoubtedly aware. Actually, first, did someone join during public comment period? I heard a chime. Driven, which is the salt company that has been operating out of State Pier, has been there under an MOU with Gateway that was originally through last spring, which was extended until the end of July, which was, recently extended through to the middle of this week. Under the expectation that an agreement through the end of the year was being negotiated, which is what is before you all today. Folks have maybe aware or have seen that part of the extension that was awarded that was tacked onto the MOU with Gateway, extending beyond July 31st, resulted in the relocation of the materials, which is underway and nearly complete, from the area in the northeastern portion of the facility down to the CV Pier. As we've said repeatedly and publicly, we had to do some testing and some boring in that area of the facility for the construction project, and that required the relocation of the salt, which was the importance of the July date. Thankfully, we were able to find a way to accommodate the material on the facility by relocating it to CV Pier. That obviously came at a cost to Driven, and so unlike the last several months, this agreement enables them to continue rent-free at the facility, which is essentially designed to offset the costs associated with their having had to relocate the material from the northeast to the CV Pier. It included the relocation of the salt, but also the scale and other aspects of the operations that need to remain proximate to the salt and away from our testing area. The agreement runs until December 31st. At which time it's imperative that the facility be clear to enable the construction project to advance, and there are aspects of the agreement that are designed to ensure that. No new salt will be brought in, but this provides hopefully the time for Driven to engage in the marketplace and sell the salt that remains on the facility. That's the gist of it. I think it's fairly straightforward and consistent with what we've been discussing. I'm happy that we were able to do this, which we weren't sure whether or not we were going to, but it gives several more months of operation potential. With that, I'll read the resolution, entertain a motion in a second, and then we can get in discussion and conversation and questions. So resolved that each of the chairperson, vice chairperson, and executive director be and hereby are individually authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the Connecticut Port Authority, hereinafter referred to as the Authority, to enter into an agreement with Driven Enterprises Incorporated, hereinafter referred to as Driven, with respect to Driven storage of salt and related equipment and structures at the New London State Pier as described in the exhibit to agenda item number 4, on such terms and provisions that each individually shall deem to be in the best interest of the authority and to take such reasonable and necessary actions as to negotiate, execute, and deliver, and to execute and deliver any and all other reasonable and necessary documents in furtherance thereof. And so you all have the final document before you. I will entertain a motion.
Also move, David. It's John.
Moved by John Johnson. Is there a second?
Second.
Greg Scully.
Seconded by Greg Scully. Thanks for joining, Greg.
Thank you, sir, for the delay.
Yeah, no worries. Any discussion, questions?
Okay. Oh, David, this is Judy.
Yep. Please go ahead. Sure.
Under, I think it's the section that talks about requesting a status report.
Yes.
I was just wondering why we would be looking at getting something on a regular basis from them instead of having to request it and maybe even move it up to September 1st. Those 3 months are going to go by very quickly from October until the end of December. So is there any reason why, or was that just, you know, decided, is there any reason why?
You know, there's no hard and fast to it. I mean, I suppose we could have set it up as, you know, a regular interval at the beginning of the month. Mm-hmm. But we also recognize that there wasn't likely to be, you know, a ton of activity or movement in the very near term, given, we're still a ways off from winter and people doing their purchasing and people being focused on COVID and other items. So, you know, we didn't think that prior to October really would result in anything appreciably different, and we wanted to provide flexibility, but there wasn't anything really hard and fast about it.
Okay. And the other thing is the question, what, on December 30th, when this is all to be finalized, what happens if the salt does not move and the other items are still there? What are the implications to the Connecticut Port Authority? I know you talk about, you know, things are forfeited, but what does that mean to us?
Yeah, so as the agreement states, you know, anything left at that time would be forfeited, which we hope is nothing. And if so, you know, then we would be responsible for getting it off the facility, by selling it or relocating it.
How that is
legal or ethical, if that is what is occurring, because it's my understanding that Gateway stopped paying rent on the facility, so they have use of a state facility that they are charging money for and making money off of, which raises questions, about, definitely the ethics, but also has New London been getting their cut? With that agreement, made where New London is entitled to, I think it was 10% of the 7% that the Port Authority gets. So I wanted to point that out to the press. Let's see. So I think that the difficulty that Driven has faced in relocating underscores how unique and important State Pier is. I don't think that any business person would want to remain in the situation that he has been operating under the extreme stress and pressure, being controlled by your competition, being in a place where you're unwanted. But there are requirements for storing salt and for moving that amount of material that are just not easily satisfied. There are site requirements, road and traffic requirements, not to mention all of the permitting and zoning that's required. State Pier, and that only gets at moving the salt. That doesn't get at next year when it comes to bringing the salt in. There's nowhere else in southeastern Connecticut like State Pier. And that's why it was set up. State Pier was set up just like our reservoir was set up, just like our airport was set up, just like our highways were set up. They were set up by people with foresight as tools. And what you are doing is taking away our tools very selfishly for your own benefit and for the benefit of a bunch of hedge fund operators from New York City so that they can extract the benefit. So that's not right. And I found a couple of the quotes that I wanted to read from Jim Butler of his concern on State Pier. Without State Pier in New London, our freight planning program for southeastern Connecticut at MPO, there's not a lot we can plan on. This agreement will result in State Pier being unavailable for freight use other than that associated with the wind industry for possibly the next 20 years, significantly impacting the freight network in southeastern Connecticut. The one from Joe Corby says, I have to confess, they say they're going to accommodate other users, but every time I look at the plans, it doesn't really look like there's any space for them to do that. Courtney was hoping that you guys would take the reset when there was all the corruption and everything was falling apart and the entire legislature was trying to sweep it under the rug. He hoped that you'd take that opportunity as that reset to modify or at least confirm that other users are going to be able to, are not just going to get pushed out for whatever period of time that they're going to be doing that wind turbine construction. So I would hope, because I say the only chance of correcting this situation is the press. That the Port Authority is an illogical and corrupt organization. It should be disbanded. It is not serving the public. It's serving themselves. And I hope that the press presses Joe Courtney and Jim Butler and these other COG leaders on what the Port Authority is doing. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll just briefly address your comment as it relates to revenue to Gateway and just make clear that over the last several months, the Port Authority has been receiving its share of the revenue as stipulated in all agreements, and the City of New London has been receiving its share of the Port Authority's revenue in kind. Any other members of the public wish to make comment at this point? Great, well thank you all for participating, and is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Bupa Johnson, is there a second?
Second
by many. Meetings adjourned at 10:28. Thank you all for your participation.
Thanks, David.
Thank you.